missionary was sharing about being on the field and said that in the area where he was, more of a third world country, and received a box from America. And in the box, there was a little doll for his little girl. I think she was probably about 3 or 4 years old. And what a wonderful thing. No, that little girl just loved that doll and they gave it to her. But it wasn't long until they had to take the doll from her because the people that had been won to the Lord had been won from idolatry and they saw it as an idol. No, that's one of the sacrifices that come up in missions. Things that we say, all right, no problem there. But you know, when Dr. David Snyder took over as the general director of BIMI, I did not know him. And I voted him in, didn't know the guy, but voted him in, you know. But we do presidential elections that way and hope for the best, you know. But one of the first meetings that we had, I don't know if he remembers this or not, but he asked about a lot of standards we have there. There's some strict standards. And asked us how we felt about that. At the time, I thought, is he trying to change something on us? And he wasn't. He was trying to find out, where do these men stand that are going to back me up? And I thought that was good. He says, right, men, you tell me what you think. And you know, that's part of the battle, is knowing where to stand, when to stand, and how to stand. And yes, people say, well, look, if it's not written in the Bible, it's being wrong. I heard a radio preacher that said you shouldn't get drunk because the Bible says not to get drunk, but doesn't say anything about social drinking. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about meth or shooting acid. But I do think there are some Bible principles that say that things are wrong, and we know that. As fundamental Bible believers, we know that. What I'm thankful for is that we have a general director of Baptist International Missions who's not only a hard worker, on the go 24/7, but he's also a fighter for the truth and the standards of the Word of God. And I believe that we are blessed this week to have this man of God come speak to us, Dr. Snyder.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Thank you, Ms. O'Loshea, for that special, very, very appropriate thought as we enter into the Word of God this evening. Let me just give you a quick, advertisement again, and then we'll get in the Word of God. I brought several different issues of the BIMI World magazine with me. They're on the table, and honestly, I don't want to take them home with me. Okay, so it'll help me get better gas mileage if you just clear off the table, okay? And I want to take them home. But I think you really will enjoy these BIMI World magazines. There's a lot of different things that you'll find in here. For this particular issue here, you'll find our different candidates that were accepted last June. The Sotos are in here, so you got, if nothing else, you've got to get it for that. Okay, their picture is here, all right? Looks good. But there's some good articles in there as well. And then this one on Austria, you will appreciate this for a lot of different reasons. One of the things that I would direct your attention to, the editorial in this one is called Global Issues. Any global issues going on around the world today? Kidnappings, beheadings, and a lot of other things. How do we respond to that? As Christians, I think hopefully we all know how we're supposed to respond. But when it comes to missions, what should be our response? And that really kind of addresses that question and that thought. I lost it already. There we go. I'm back. All right, good. I was going to say, I didn't think I was supposed to quit yet. I thought I had until at least midnight or something, all right? Another thing in here that you would want to take notice of is the Euro-Islam. This is one of our open doors with our open door project that I talked about last night. I'll tell you what, this is an amazing thing that we as Christians better sit up and take notice to in our world around us. And talk about a mission field. And it is an open door in Europe right now that we can go and tell these folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, again, some other good articles in here. One of the ones that you'll definitely want to read is The Son of a Witch Doctor Comes to Christ. That is an exceptional article, so you want to read that. And then this is the very newest BIMI World magazine. Matter of fact, the boxes were still sitting in the hallway of BIMI when I left, and I grabbed a bunch of them on my way out. And we talk tonight a little bit, and Soto's presented to us just a little bit. In the United States of America, we talk about church planting. Do we really need to be church planting? Do we really need churches in the United States of America? And yes, Hawaii is part of that. And Alaska is too, by the way. I want to throw that out there. I don't know to the extent that they know, but I know a little bit about what they're going through on deputation, because I used to call pastors about gaining support to go to Alaska, and I'd have pastors say to me, "Preacher, you're going to paradise. They don't need churches up there. That you're just going up there to go hunting and fishing and enjoy Alaska." You know, and you couldn't convince him otherwise. It's just the way it was, you know. So I have a feeling he gets the same type response, maybe not with the hunting and fishing, but with the, you know, tropical climate and things such as that. But I'll tell you what, we've been commanded to go not into just part of the world, but into all the world. And we need to remember that also means the United States of America, because there are many places in the United States of America where they don't have the privilege like you do to come to a church like this. Nor, I'd ask you to think, how many churches did you come by tonight on your way here? You may not be able to join those churches, but how many of them are at least preaching the gospel? And there's people tonight that don't have that opportunity. And in here, by the way, you will read an article that our USA director, in one day, received 6 phone calls from 6 different churches that were in decline, ready to shut their doors, and said, "Can you help us? There's a tremendous need," and I think that will interest you. Also, we've been emphasizing prayer in this conference as well. That is our theme, and I've got some 2015 prayer calendars on my table. I have the least amount of these than I do of the others. I do have more in the van, so if they run out, I'll bring more in. It'll be great. And this is a calendar that will list 3 missionary names per day throughout 2015. And so you can pray for 3 different missionaries by name. And you might say, "Well, preacher, I don't know who they are. And I call out their name, but I don't know them." But you do understand that God knows them. Okay. And if you call them out by name, I think God will honor that, and God will be pleased to answer your prayer as you pray for them, as they are planting churches and winning souls around the world. Again, it is good to be here tonight. Thank you for a great day. We've enjoyed our day once again. And, you know, it is amazing. The last conference I was in, I landed and it was 16 degrees outside. When we pulled into town here, it was 90. So, you know, 16, 90. Thank you all very much. Appreciate the weather. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Take your Bibles now. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm going to pick up where we left off last night. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Now, I know that some of you have already been a little bit worried about the message tonight, and I want to set your mind at ease before we even begin, okay? Some of you have figured out that the first night, on Wednesday night, we covered the first 3 verses of this chapter. And in doing so, we took about 30 minutes to cover those 3 verses. And some of you were a little bit more concerned last night because we covered 2 verses, verses 4 and 5, and we also took about 30 minutes to cover those 2 verses. And the reason some of you are concerned is because you understand we're going through verse number 12 for this message. That gives us 7 verses for this evening. And you would say, "Brother Snyder, do you have a plan?" Of course I have a plan. Buckle your seatbelts, put your tray tables in the upright position, and put your seat backs up. We're going to take off. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 1. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." God's special grace, His specific grace upon them to give, even in the midst, verse number 2, of a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They had joy as they gave, even in the midst of that great trial of affliction and their deep poverty. God did some amazing things among them. Verse number 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." They gave sacrificially, first of all, and then they went beyond that by God's grace and gave supernaturally. And all this happened, I believe, because they were willing of themselves. They wanted to do it. praying us with much entreaty, verse 4, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were excited about giving Paul this offering, and they knew this was an offering for others, not an offering that stayed there within their local assembly, but to help establish and to meet the needs of a church that Paul, the missionary, was going to help with. And this they did, verse 5, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The key to faith, promise, giving. If you will, before we ever put this in the offering plate, we need to put ourselves in the offering plate. To present our bodies, ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our entire being to Him. And then to give this over and above. Giving ourselves. Now, this is where we pick up tonight. Let me begin reading before we have a word of prayer in verse number 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this conference. Thank you for what you have already done in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, what a tremendous opportunity it is to gather together and to emphasize your great commission. And Lord, I want to just pause now and ask for your help. Ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit. To ask for your power. Lord, I need your strength and I need your filling. And God, I pray that it would be so. Lord, I pray that you would once again help us to set aside the cares of this life so that we might focus on you and focus on your word. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Last two nights, the focus really has been on our hearts, our attitudes, and the fact that we need to give ourselves and kind of, if you will, on the spiritual side of things. Now, as we come tonight to verse number 6 through verse number 12, this is really kind of the nuts and bolts, if you will, of faith promise giving. This is the practical side of faith promise giving, because Paul is instructing the church at Corinth how to follow through with that commitment that they made. And to look to the example of the Macedonians as they do. So in verse number 6, he says, insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, we don't know exactly what role Titus played in all of this, but he did. He was at the beginning. Now he's going to help them finish this. Notice these words, grace also. What grace is he talking about? Again, the grace of giving, and thus one of the reasons we call this grace giving. Now, verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but do you realize that Paul just gave 5 compliments to the church at Corinth? That's difficult to do because the church at Corinth is a carnal church. But he said, hey, church at Corinth, you're doing good in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us. He says, keep it up. Continue on. But then he says, but see that ye abound in this grace also. Along with all of those other things, continue in them, continue abounding in them. But as you do, abound in this grace, the grace of giving also. And there's a lesson there for you and I. You see, each of us, I trust, has some type of ministry, something that we're doing for the Lord. And we're busy maybe teaching Sunday school. Maybe we're busy with junior church. Maybe we part of the Christian school. Maybe it's the bus ministry. Maybe it's RU. Maybe it's some other ministry. And praise God for that. And I compliment you for that. And I say, continue to abound in those things. But let me encourage you, as Paul did, see that ye abound in this grace also. And notice what Scripture says. It says to abound in this grace also. What's Paul saying? He's saying, don't tip God. Don't give him the extras that happen to be left over at the end of the week or the end of the month. But abound in this grace also. Now, I want to go on record that I did not skip verse number 8. You know, some preachers might be tempted to skip this verse, but I did not skip it. I want to make sure that we all see verse number 8. Paul says, I speak not by commandment. What's Paul mean? Paul says, this is not a command. So what does that mean to you and I? By the way, this makes a lot of pastors a little nervous when I say this. It means you don't have to put one of these cards in the offering plate. You don't have to do this. It is not a command. And by the way, let me point out to you, that's one of the things that makes this different than the tithe. Because the tithe is a simple command. It's what already belongs to the Lord. And God said, just give it. So it is different than the tithe. But this is not a command. You don't have to be involved in faith promise giving. But now, before you let out a long sigh of relief, let me assure you that I'm going to finish verse number 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. What's he saying? He's saying you don't have to be involved in this offering, but before you decide to not be involved, he says you better think about the forwardness of others or the example of others. Who is he speaking about? Well, he's speaking about those churches at Macedonia. He says, church at Corinth, you understand you're not in a great trial of affliction. Church at Corinth, you're anything but in deep poverty. You have no real excuses to come up with. But you better stop and think about those churches at Macedonia. They had human excuses, humanly speaking, that they could have said, hey, well, we just can't be involved in this. But they didn't look to excuses. They looked to God. And they said, God, we want to give. God, by His grace, allowed them to give not only to their power, but beyond their power. Dear friend, tonight, as I mentioned the other night, here in the United States of America, we are spoiled. We really don't have any excuses as to why we should not be involved in an offering like this. Now, it is not a command, but I would say to you tonight, before you decide to not be involved in faith promise giving, stop and think about the example of others. Those churches at Macedonia, but we could even bring it up to our day and time. There are many churches today who, like your church, are practicing faith promise giving. Many Christians who are truly sacrificing and giving beyond their power. I don't know. I'm sure these missionaries do the same thing. There are many times as I receive that support check, I think about those widows, some of them giving their last mite to that faith promise. You better believe that I'm careful about how I spend the money that the Lord sends my way. And you know, I don't know about this, but you know, faith promise giving is an amazing tool that God has given to us. And if I were to ask these missionaries this question tonight, I think I already know what they would say because I've asked other missionaries and I get the same answer. If I were to ask these missionaries, what percent of your support comes from faith promise giving? Most likely, these missionaries would say the greatest amount of my support, a high percentage. Some would say 90-some percent. I've had missionaries say 100% of my support comes from faith promise giving. That being the case, what if everybody stopped giving to faith promise? Question to consider. No, you don't have to be involved. Paul said it's not a command, but before we decide to not be involved, we better stop and think about the example of others. But there's something else that Paul says we better stop and think about. Notice at the end of that verse, he says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. To prove the sincerity of your love. You understand that if I went around the auditorium tonight and I asked one individually, hey, do you love the Lord? 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 I would assume that everyone would say, yes, preacher, I love the Lord. Or at least nod their head. Yes, I love the Lord. And it's relatively easy for you and I to say with our mouth, yes, I love the Lord. But you know, faith promise giving gives us the opportunity to say, not just with our mouth, I love you, Lord, but with our finances, I love you, Lord. You do understand that if I told my wife on a regular basis, I love you, sweetheart. I love you, sweetheart. I really love you, sweetheart. But I never did a thing to put a roof over her head, never put food on our table, never did anything tangible to show my love to her. You know, my wife would want to have a little talk with me. She'd say, there's something wrong with you. You tell me that you love me, but you never show me that you love me. I wonder how often God feels that way. But this is an amazing opportunity for you and I to show, to demonstrate our love for the Lord. Let me remind you of a little truth from Scripture. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our heart and our treasure are inseparably linked. That being the case, think about this with me. Those things that we love the most are, generally speaking, those things that we spend the most money on. And generally speaking, those things that we love the least are the things that we will spend the least money on, or in some cases, no money on. That being the case, think in your mind tonight about your checkbook. Go down through your finances. What is it in your life, in your household, that you spend the most money on? And what is it in your household that you spend the least money on? Generally speaking, that which you spend the most on is that which you love the most. And generally speaking, that which you spend the least on, you love the least. Now here's the question. In that list, where is God? Is God towards the top of that list? Is He at the very top of that list? Or maybe is God down here somewhere where we find that maybe we're only tipping God? For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Now, we don't have to be involved, but you do understand that we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. What an amazing opportunity you and I have to say to God with our finances, to demonstrate to Him, God, I love you. I speak not by commandment. You don't have to be involved, but before you decide to not be involved, stop and think about the example of others. And stop and think about the fact that this proves the sincerity of our love. And you know, if that's not enough to convince us, I think that's why Paul put verse number 9 in. Verse number 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. You see, he said, therefore, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you talk about the ultimate example of grace giving. You understand that it is Jesus Christ Himself. He is the ultimate example of grace giving. He gave up heaven for you and for me, for the world. What an amazing thing. He gave up those riches. He made Himself poor. Why? So that you and I might be rich. No. We don't have to be involved in this offering, but I'll tell you what, if we stop and think about what Jesus Christ has done for us, how can we do anything less than do whatever it is He's laying on our hearts to do for Him when it comes to the faith promise offering? Verse 10, Paul says, and herein I give my advice. He says, for this is expedient for you. Now notice what he says. This is expedient for you. He does not say this is expedient for the missionary. I think we all understand tonight that the faith promise offering is expedient for the missionary. I don't know about you missionaries, but for me, I have not been able to go to the grocery store yet and say to them, hey, I'm a missionary, and they gave me all my groceries for free. It just doesn't happen, you know? So when we receive that missions offering, praise the Lord, it is expedient for us. We get to do things like buy groceries. Praise God, I developed the habit of eating at an early age. Just haven't been able to break that habit yet, all right? But that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying this is expedient for the missionary. He's not bringing out that truth. He's saying this is expedient for you. Who's that? The giver. For those of us who are willing to get involved in giving, Paul says this is expedient for you. Now, how so? Well, I wish I could answer that question more thoroughly, but literally I have 11 points, 11 reasons that are a whole nother sermon in and of themselves about how this is expedient for those of us who are going to get involved in faith promise giving. But I just want to give you two quick thoughts tonight concerning this. Number one, it's expedient for us because it exercises and thus strengthens our faith. I don't know about you, but when I write out that check for my faith promise, that's an exercise in faith for me. And I have to say, Lord, I'm trusting you here. By faith, I'm giving what you've laid on my heart. Now, you think back in your life over the last week. What else in your life can you point to and say, you know, that was a real faith builder for me. My faith was increased because of this in my life. Sometimes it's hard for us to find anything in a week's time that we could really point to and say, man, that really stretched my faith. But I'll tell you what, if we get involved in faith promise giving, it will stretch our faith. And thus, it will strengthen our faith. And by the way, you know the old saying, no pain, no gain. It will stretch us, but it will grow us. But I also have to mention here as well, what an opportunity you and I have to lay up treasure in heaven. This is expedient for us because, you know, we can't take it with us, but you understand, we can send it on up ahead. And when it's there, there's no thieves that are going to break through and steal. There's no rust. There's no cobwebs. There's no fire. There's no nothing that's going to get to this because this is for all eternity. You know, nowadays, if you fill out a deposit slip to put money in the bank, you know, you almost have to pay the bank to put your money in there. Used to be in the old days, they gave you a little money to put it in there, you know, but it's changed a lot. But I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Do you realize that this is kind of like a deposit ticket for the bank of heaven? How much do you want to deposit? How much does God want you to deposit? That's the decision we're asking you to make, to think about, to pray about, to ask God, God, what would you have me to do? Understanding that this is expedient for those who get involved. What an amazing and a wonderful promise from God. Herein I give my advice, verse 10, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. To be forward a year ago, that is, you were excited about doing this a year ago. You were looking forward to it. You were anticipating this. Now notice he says the words there, a year ago. We mentioned at the beginning of this message on Wednesday night that a year had come and gone since Paul was with the church at Corinth, and now he's writing to them again after a year. And those three words, a year ago, we could kind of just read over them quickly and not really think a lot about those words. But I want you to stop and think about a couple of things here that I think are important for us to understand about those words. Number one, I believe here we have the principle of the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. Now, is everybody listening to me? Don't leave here tonight and say, the preacher said that the Bible says thou shalt have an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. That's not what I said. That's not what the Bible says either, okay? But I believe the principle is here. You say, how so? Think about this with me. After a year, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says to them, what I want you to do, church at Corinth, is two things. Number one, I want you to think back over the last year. 1 year ago, you made a promise. And I want you to think back to that promise and consider the promise that you made. And have you kept that promise? And how has God worked in your life during the past year? But he also says, church at Corinth, there's something else I want you to do. I want you to look ahead to the next year. I want you to look ahead to the future. I want you to consider what you will now do concerning this offering. And is that not what we do at the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference? I believe the principle is there. It's laid out for us. It's not an accident that Paul wrote after 1 year, because in this conference, what God wants us to do is he wants us to look back to 1 year ago. He wants us to consider that promise, that commitment that we made 1 year ago, And consider, have we been faithful to that commitment? And to consider what God has done in our lives during the past year. And dare I say, if we had a testimony time here tonight, we could probably get a lot of great testimonies about how God has worked and about how God's grace has been bestowed in lives, enabling you to do that which God laid on your heart to do. But you also understand this Faith Promise Missions Conference. God's also asking you to look ahead. To look ahead to the future, and God is asking you, will you do what I'm laying on your heart to do for the upcoming missions year? And I hope you understand that the need is greater now than it was 1 year ago. You know, we don't have the luxury to back up and to let up and to quit. Hey, we've got to be serious. God, what would you have me to do? And then to make that commitment and to move forward for Him. But those words a year ago, there's something else I think we need to understand about those words as well. And that's this. The commitment that you make as you fill out that card, that is a commitment for one full year. You've heard pastors say a couple of different times already that you start at zero. And that's important to understand. Don't just assume that everybody already knows what you give and, well, I'm not going to put it in. Hey, this is a commitment for one full year. It all starts over right now, looking ahead to the next missions year. Now, you say, why is that important to understand? It's important for a couple of different reasons. Number one, pastor has already told me that this is not allowed. Okay, but this is a purely hypothetical situation. So, hypothetically speaking, let's say that you get transferred in your job, or for some reason you move from the Ocala area and you transfer to some other state 6 months from now. What happens to that faith promise commitment that you made to God here? Please understand that as you move away 6 months from now, I believe God would have you to continue that faith promise offering for the next 6 months to finish out that 1 year commitment that you made to Him. Why is that? Because the commitment that you make is a commitment that you make to God, and you make it through Central Baptist Church, through this local church. How important it is for us to understand that we keep the commitment that God lays on our heart to Him through this local church. But there's also another thing I would mention to you why it's important to consider that this is a commitment for one full year. Because sometime in the very near future, after you make this commitment, you will hit a storm. You will have a trial. You will have some sort of a financial difficulty in your life. Let's say 3 months from now. And I'm just letting you know ahead of time, it's a test. And the question is, will you pass the test that God is allowing in your life? Because after that happens 3 months from now, you understand that the commitment that you make as you put it down on this card, it's not a commitment for 3 months. It's not a commitment for 4 months or 5 or 6 months. It is a commitment for one full year. There will be tests. You know, remember when you were in school and you walked into the classroom and the teacher said, take out a piece of paper and a pencil. I remember that. My heart would drop into my stomach because I knew that was a pop quiz. Now you understand this is not a pop quiz because you already knew it was coming. It's a test. Are you going to put the right answer on the test and understand that that is for one full year? You know, it's important for us to understand these commitments that we're making. That's one of the reasons we're going over it here from Scripture, where these principles come from. And some would say, well, now, preacher, what happens? I make that commitment for one full year. What happens at the end of one full year? Well, praise God, you have your next annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. And once again, you look back to this past year and you look ahead to what God would have for you to do in the future. Why? Because the work of missions is never done. It's been the Great Commission from the time it was given all the way till now, and it will continue to be so until Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Think about it. A year ago. Now, we need to finish. Verse number 11. Now, therefore, in other words, considering all these things that we've just talked about. Now, therefore, Paul says, perform the doing of it. What's that mean? He says, put your money where your mouth is. Follow through with what you said you were going to do. Perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He says, listen, make sure that there's a performance out of that which ye have. This is very important for us to understand concerning faith promise giving. There are some who teach and preach faith promise this way. They say, hey, listen, you just get a hold of one of these cards. Whatever number kind of sounds good, you put that number on there, and then you just trust God to give you that amount. And you know, if God gives you that amount, He just kind of drops it in your lap, well then praise God, you drop it in the offering plate, and you praise His name for what He's done. But you know, if God doesn't give it to you, then you are off the hook. And you don't have to give that faith promise commitment that you made. Now, I remember preaching a missions conference in West Virginia, and I preached through this passage of Scripture. And at the end of the conference, the preacher came to me and he said, you know, brother, he said, for the last 14 years, we have used faith promise in our church. And I've had different speakers and they've come in, they've preached about faith promise. And he said, all of those preachers, they came in and they preached that if God gives it to you, then you give it to God. But if God doesn't give it to you, then you're off the hook. And he said, you know, I never understood why for the last 14 years, faith promise has never worked in our church. He said, now I understand why. There is to be a performance out of that which we have. You know, let me demonstrate that to you from Scripture. What God is expecting to us is obedient faith. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. You turn there, you'll see that Jesus here is speaking, and the context is that of giving. Here is God's order. Here's what God says that we are to be doing when it comes to giving. We're to give out of that which we have. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Now, I've had you turn there because, you know, sometimes when I walk away from my Bible and I quote Scripture, I don't get it exactly right. Just, you know, the hard drive just isn't the same as it used to be a few years ago, okay? So I want you to make sure that as I quote this verse that I'm quoting it correctly. Okay, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Here's what Jesus said. After God gives it to you, then give. And it shall be, I'm thankful that some of you have caught it, all right? Some of you are still trying to figure out what I'm doing, all right? You understand what God said? He said, give first out of that which you have, give, and then it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What's that last part mean? It means you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. But we must do it God's way. God expects our giving to be a performance out of that which we have. He wants to see our faith in action. You know, you think about that with me. I'm a practical guy, okay? If we were supposed to give this missions offering only when we saw it first, why would we call it faith promise giving? There's no faith involved in that. We would have to call it sight promise giving. That when we see it, then we give it. And by the way, doesn't the Bible say that we're not to live by sight, but we're to live by faith? You understand, we're not to give by sight, but we're to give by faith. And also, because I'm a practical guy, I think about things like this. Hey, if we were only supposed to give it when we saw it first, why would we need the special grace of God bestowed upon us to give that offering? It's not hard to give an offering that kind of gets dropped in our lap. That's pretty simple. Why did the churches at Macedonia need God's grace to give? Because they were giving out of that which they had, and what they had was very, very little. You and I are to give out of that which we have. Now, again, because I'm such a practical person, let me just explain it to you this way. For our family, we, like these missionaries, we raise our own support. I do not get a salary from BIMI because I'm the president and general director. You know that because you're one of our supporting churches. Praise God. We thank you for it. Now, When we get that monthly statement at the end of the month, it has a list of all the churches who gave and how much they gave, and we get that check at the end of the month. Now, when that check comes, the first thing that comes out of that check is God's tithe. You just do the math. It's a 10%, okay? And by the way, God does not mind if you round it up. He is okay with that, all right? Do the 10%. It belongs to God from the very beginning. It's His. Just give it back to Him. That's an act of obedience. We give God His tithe. The second thing that comes out of that check is our faith promise commitment. Why? Because the Bible says there's to be a performance out of that which we have. We have it. This is what God has given to us. We understand this is what He would have us to give. This is the commitment that we made as we put it down on the card. So by faith, we're going to give. And then God says, it shall be given unto you. And I'm here to tell you, as we've practiced this for the last 25 years, God has met every single one of our needs. God has paid every bill on time. As far as I know, there's never been a bill that's even been paid late. Why? Because you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. There's to be a performance out of that which we have. For, he says in verse number 12, if there be first a willing mind. We talked about that the other night. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. That is God's view or God's acceptance of our gift. It is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. You understand, God's not worried about what we don't have. God's concerned about what we do have. It's accepted. God's acceptance of the gift is according to what we have and not what we don't have. And you know, I like God's acceptance. I like God's view of this gift. Let me demonstrate that to you this way. You see, over here we might have somebody who gives a $50 faith promise offering. And to that we would say, praise God. Amen. That's wonderful. And over here we have someone who gives a $100 faith promise offering. To that we would say amen and amen. Praise God, that's a wonderful thing. And the way they taught me math when I was in school, this one is much bigger than that one. As a matter of fact, it's double what that one is. And our view or our acceptance of that gift is that this one is much larger than that one. But you understand, there's some things that you and I don't necessarily see. Because this person who gives this $50 faith promise offering is doing so out of a $500 budget. Whereas this person who gives a $100 offering is doing so out of a $5,000 budget. You see, it's not the portion, but it's the proportion. God's viewpoint, what God sees, is that it's not this offering that's larger. God says this one is much larger. And you understand, you remember how Jesus taught His disciples that lesson? In Mark chapter number 9, remember how all of the people were coming into the temple and they were dropping their offering in the offering plate there, and it was going great, it was wonderful. And by the way, Jesus didn't discourage them from giving. That was a great and wonderful thing. But it was when that widow came along and she dropped in those two mites. Did you notice that that's when Jesus said to His disciples, hey fellas, come here, this is where I have a lesson that you need to learn. That widow has given more than all of the rest of those. Why? Because it's God's acceptance, it's God's viewpoint of this gift that really matters. And it's not according to what we don't have, it's according to what we do have. And God knows what we do have. And you might be saying throughout this whole week, you know, preacher, I hear what you're saying, and sometimes there are people, I think they get the wrong impression. They get this impression of, well, unless I put $1,000 a week down on that card, I guess I'm just really not doing what the preacher's asking, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Hey, listen, if that's what you're thinking, you've not been listening. Very simply, ask God what He would have you to do. Whatever it is. You might say, preacher, it just doesn't seem like it's very much. It's not about the amount. It's about the obedience. God's just looking for you and I to be obedient. It doesn't matter what others might would think. Praise God, we do this anonymously, so it doesn't matter because nobody else except maybe the treasurer and a few others are going to know. But it's not about what others might would think. It's about what God's going to think. God knows every aspect of our lives, including all of our finances. The question is, are we just simply willing to be obedient, to do, and to give whatever it is He lays on our hearts to give? No, it's not a command. We don't have to be involved. But before we decide to not be involved, we better stop and think about the example of others. We better stop and think specifically about the example of Jesus Christ, who gave His everything. We don't have to be involved. But I'll tell you what, when we consider all of these things, when we consider the example of the Macedonians, when we consider all that God does with what we give to get the gospel around the world, I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to miss out on being involved in this, because this is expedient for me, and this is expedient for you. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed, and just want to have a few moments of invitation again tonight. Once more, we've looked at these Macedonian churches. We've looked at their example, and particularly tonight, we've looked at the specific instruction that was given to the church at Corinth and looked at some of the practical aspects of faith promise giving. And it being a more practical message, I really don't know what the Lord might have spoken to your heart about concerning this message. But maybe God has spoken to you about something very particular tonight. And if that's the case, would you take this time to talk with Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The pianist is beginning to play a hymn of invitation.